Scripture reading for this morning is Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 12. And the Bible says, "For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun?" May Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. But it's good to see everybody here on this beautiful Sabbath day, that you come with open hearts, with joy and love in your hearts, for yourself and for others. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ to be as our example, the way that we are to live and to act towards one another. And I pray that we will do that. We know that the time is closing for this life, earth's history. We need to be ready for the coming of our Lord in all of his glory. We need to help others come too, to be ready also, so that we all may enjoy the eternal life that is promised to us. All that the Lord has made prepared for us in heaven, and then on this earth made new, to see the glory that this earth will have once again, as it was in the very beginning, and even more beautiful than it was. Sometimes I don't see how God can do that, because it was very good in the beginning, but to even be better yet this next time, and that we will be able to enjoy it. So this week we're going to look at the Ecclesiastes again, a little bit more of the vanity of vanities, and all is vanity, and what profit a man, and under the sun. Continue with that, and then there's one more after that also that I will give sometime. So let's just have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we just pray and ask for thy help and your guidance and direction, that we truly may be yours, Father. We know that we have to have our hearts with our Lord. We have to look to the Word. We need to look to the Holy Spirit, and that through prayer, communion, that we may be your representatives. The time is short. The end is coming, especially in thy sight. With us, it may seem like a long time, but we know that with you is nothing. So we pray that we will be prepared for that, and that we can have some of the wisdom that Solomon had, even as though it turned him away from God. But he came back, and he may also have the privilege of having eternal life. We ask for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yes, if we looked at the last time at Ecclesiastes, the preacher searching for meaning for life. We observe the fertility in the cycles of nature and of life, as we read in chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. And then beginning with human wisdom in 12 through 18, we see that Solomon had already been blessed with great wisdom from God. It was not his own. And he used it to search out the value of wisdom and come to many conclusions to that there. But what did he conclude concerning wisdom? Trying to find the answer in human wisdom was grasping for the wind. In 1:17, we went through these the last time. Such wisdom was a source of much grief and sorrow. Verse 18. So he began to look elsewhere. And in the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, if you would turn there, because that's where we're going to be mostly today, in the second chapter and beyond. But start with the second chapter. So we see that. His efforts to explore the value of mirth, pleasure, and folly in the wine, and his search to find meaning in the acquisition of wealth and great accomplishments. Did he find the answer there? And if not, what conclusions did he come to and did he reach? But we need to see what the preacher said about that. We know that the preacher tasted life as we read the life of Solomon. and not what transpired in his life, in his turning away from God. But he summarizes what he found in Ecclesiastes. Mirth and pleasure are vanity in first verse of chapter 2. Laughter is madness. Mirth accomplishes nothing. Verse 2. He describes what he did. His experience with wine and folly. Verse 3, as we continue along with chapter 2 there. He used the wisdom he had, for he was seeking what was good for the people to do under heaven all the days of their lives. He made many things, verses 4 through 6, such as houses, vineyards, gardens, orchards, water pools. You can read that in 1 Kings chapter 7 and chapter 9. He required whatever he desired, verses 5 through 8. Servants, livestock, silver, gold, treasures, singers, and desires of the sons of men, concubines, musical instruments, just as God had predicted to the people of Israel when they asked for a king, what they would have to give up to have a king rule over them. He became great and seemed happy, verses 9 and 10, but we know that that was not so. He was greater than anyone before him. Maintaining his wisdom in heaven, his eyes, his heart's desire, finding enjoyment in all of his labor. He looking back at what he did, and he concluded that all was vanity, grasping for the wind. We see that that is pronounced out throughout the whole book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. The conclusion drawn by the preacher might seem strange to us, but he admitted that he found joy in labor. In verse 10 he says that. But when we consider what he says next, we may understand his feelings after his great disappointment and his experiment that he had. The preacher hated life. Have we ever reached that point ourselves where we hated life, we had hated our life? And if we have, we pray that we have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can love life. And all of this was in his later life that he was able to see all these things after he lived the life that he wanted to live. He was reflecting upon his wisdom, on his madness and his folly, realizing his unique opportunity. What more could he do that he had already done? He considered what are the realities and the merits of wisdom, madness, and folly. And to verse 12 of chapter 2. He saw that wisdom was better than folly. Just a light is better than darkness. And we know that we'd rather have a light in the darkness that we have. At least that the wise man can see where he is going. Without that light, we're not able to see, even in the darkness it is in the world today, to be able to follow the pathway that God wants us to follow. We have to have that light. We know that that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that he is in each one of our lives. But ultimately, the advantage of human wisdom is vanity, as we continue through the book of Ecclesiastes, seeing that. Both for the wise man and for the fool that dies. And after death, there's no more remembrance of what that life was. We're just like the fool in not having anything after life. Thus the preacher hated life because of his conclusions about all the work done under the sun. It was vanity and grasping for the wind, verse 17. But he reflected upon his wealth, for he had much wealth, and it was all because of God. He came to hate his labor, verses 18 and 19. He came to despair of all of his labor under the sun, verses 20 through 23. And I hope that you will go home and you read the complete book of Ecclesiastes, because you can understand it and get more out of it than by me up here reading it for you and talking about it. So we see that there. See that man with his wisdom and his knowledge, having his heritage and finding that there's nothing to be labored for that. He didn't feel that this was right. Great vanity and great evil. Solomon was able to see in his wisdom. And in the end, what did he have for all of his efforts? He had only sorrowful days, reckless nights, grievous work, and vanity. And we may have that same in our lives if we don't give our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that if we are having struggles, especially about self, that the Holy Spirit is there nudging us, pressing upon our hearts to be able to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for the answers to make our lives better and better for other people. So looking at life under the sun, trying to find a meaning in his life, it was the labor that he had, and it was only despair of his great efforts in trying to find that. But he said, my wisdom remained with me. Verse 9. See that in chapter 2. With that wisdom, he seeks and shares for the first time what he should do in life. The preacher did accept his life, and I pray that we accept our life. Man should seek to enjoy the good in his labor, because we know that there's nothing wrong with labor. He says there is nothing better. But he draws this in for six times, and we won't read them, but in chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 5, chapter 8, and chapter 9, it gives these conclusions as he draws upon his labor and what it is good for. We see that the preacher is not promoting the fatalist view of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. And many of people look at life that way today, and they are doing that. They're eating, they're drinking, they're being merry, and they're going to die tomorrow. But we know that we can die with the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives if we truly follow the dictates of our hearts through reading the Word of God, reading about Solomon's life through that. He's talking and enjoying about what God has given us. 1 Timothy 6:17. The ability to enjoy the one's labor is a gift of God. We know that all the things that we have, forgiveness, repentance, eternal life, that is all a gift from God, that we have to accept that gift in order to have the Lord Jesus Christ in our life and to have that eternal life that's promised to each and every one of us. We pray that we're doing that. We know that God gives us the wisdom and the knowledge that we need, and it is for joy. It is not for folly. The sinner gathers to give to the one who is good, and that is God. We pray that we would do that before God, that we may have that goodness in us, to be able to have Christ living within us, to have that compassion, and have that consideration for others, and be able to help them in all their needs. For the sinner, his work before becoming to him was vanity, grasping for the wind, as I've already repeated many times. Some people are successful in accumulating wealth. I know that I can say that a lot of us here don't have wealth today, but yet we do have wealth because we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And I pray that we will take that wealth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and live the life that we need to live, to be examples for the world, to give the message, for time is short. We have not much time left to be able to do this message, especially with what is going to come against the church in the very near future. These doors here might even be closed to us at one time in the very near future. Will we be prepared for that? Will we be ready to go to another place, even if it's in secret, and continue our worship of our God on the Sabbath day. I pray that we will. We don't really have to make preparations for that other than being in Lord Jesus Christ. Because when that time comes, God will take care of it for us. He will allow us to go where we need to go at such time. So we just pray that we continue to ask for all of these things and see these things. So we know that many people have wealth. But for the first time, the preacher was introduced God here in this, as we see in verse 26 of chapter 2. If you look at that, chapter 26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and the vexation of the spirit. So we see that here and that there. To look at life under the sun without God, we know that there's no future in that. The only ending in that is complete death without the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when one is successful in life, in death, can cause us to hate life. I pray that we are not hating our life, though. But as we say, that just as Solomon concluded, under the sun is vanity and grasping for wind. Then we can see in chapter 1, verse 3, the question was asked, what profit has a man from his labor in which he toils under the sun? What profit is there in life when viewed from the earthly perspective that we have? What value is our labor when we fail to consider God's will in our lives? Because we have to have God's will and allow God's will to work in us to be able to be His. And the answer given by the preacher, once again, all is vanity. And then his conclusion is based on his personal experience that he lived and seeing this in his later life. And so let's look at some of the observations in which he was able to share that wisdom for living under the sun. With the inexplicable purpose of God, we are able to see that all through the Bible. See that all things serve God's divine purpose, even though we may not think so. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. You can read that in chapter 3 of verses 1 through 8. He made everything beautiful in its time. Verse 11, whatever God does, it shall be forever. 14 and 15. Man is unable to discover God's purpose. God has put it in man to search out that happiness, though. You can read in 9 through 11. But no one can find out the work God has done. Also in verse 11. And why does God act this way? We probably have asked that question many times. And not just this way, but other things. It's why God has acted this way or that way. And we know that we can find the answer in His Word. Not all things, because there are many things that we don't need to know. And God has not revealed them to us. Mostly because we couldn't handle it. So we see that. God does it that man should fear Him. Verse 14. He wants man to reverence God and therefore seek to please Him. Acts 17, 26 and 27. We are made to be an inquisitive creatures. And we are. We know that. He has made life that we are always searching something better and looking for a purpose. We always want something better in our lives than what we have. But maybe sometimes we have the best already because we do have the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that we continue that. There's nothing better than to rejoice and be good. Eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. Yet the ability to do so is the gift of God. We may have that God. And if there's any effort to live without God, we know the answer to that. what the outcome, the conclusion would be, that is only vanity. And we probably have all had vanity in our lives at one time or another, and pray that we have taken care of that now today. There is the injustice and opposition of men. They will be coming against us in the very near future, against the church. There's only one purpose that God was, or the preacher was able to see that. In verse 16 of chapter 3 there, wickedness in the place of justice. And we will see the wickedness coming upon the world as it is now, in so many places. Places where we thought it would not be, but it is. Wickedness, the whole world. Satan has control of the whole world. And he will do his best to continue to pull others away from the, pull people away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will succeed in many ways and with many people. But we pray that each one of us here, and our loved ones, and the ones that we come in contact, and the ones that we give the message to, will not be drawn by Satan from the evil one, and that they will be able to give their hearts over to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no comfort there for the oppressed. For verse 1. This prompted them to think about the dead, that was better to be dead than the living. Even better where they had never lived at all. Verses 2 and 3. Then the preacher reasoned in his heart that God will judge the righteous and the wicked. 3:17. God can see injustice and wickedness in carrying out his purpose. And he can use that. He sees that injustice and he will use it. Also in verse 17. Just as he used Assyria and Babylon to discipline Israel, God allows his injustice to test the sons of men. Verses 18 through 21. And then we see that the preacher concluded. He understands the value of rejoicing in one's own works. 3:22. This is what God allots him and allots us today. Not what may happen on earth after he is gone. And we do whatever happens after we pass away, we know that is no concern of us, because for we know not anything. The dead know not anything. So it's this life that we need to be worrying about, in the life after with the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we are going to be there or not, whether we're going to be children of the living God, being able to sit before the throne of God on the Sabbath day to worship our God, to worship our Savior. And then in the remaining parts of this section here, it's really 3:1-4 in verses 4:16, we make preacher making various comments, and that we can be summarized as the vanity of skillful and selfish work can bring enmity in others. And we are able to see that. We saw how skillful work can cause one to be envied by one's neighbors. Verse 4. And while it is foolish to fold one's hands and do nothing, acquiring too much is not worth the effort. For it does not satisfy. Whatever we seek after, whatever we're reaching for, is not good for us. We know that it will not satisfy. Only the Lord Jesus Christ will satisfy what we are searching for. And if one is all alone, which many are today, the preacher saw one with no companion, neither son nor brother, verses 7 and 8. He was one who is never satisfied. Indeed, it can't be. Chapter 5, verse 10. He doesn't think for whom he is laboring. Chapter 2, 18 and 19. We know it is better to have friends. Verses 9 through 12. Where one can help each other in their labors. Who can help each other when they fall. Who can help others understand the forces of opposition that comes up against each and every one of us. But we know that popularity is so fleeting. We know that it is better to be poor and wise than a foolish king. In verse 13, despite rising from poverty and prison to become king, you will find that the people will eventually prefer much younger than someone much younger than him. Verses 14 through 16. That first part of it, of that verse, refers to Joseph. And then we come to the conclusion. The preacher was able to see meaning and purpose for life is now possible. As he looked at all the vanity of life, along with wisdom for living under the sun. And we'll look at that the next time. But today we've been able to see why he reached the conclusions about the vanity of life, the inexplicable purposes of God, injustice and oppression of men, and the vanity of skillful and selfish toil. What wisdom he offers for living under the sun. As Christians today, we may be perplexed at times concerning the workings of God, and we know that we are can't understand them all. We continue to read, and that's why we need to continue to read the Word of God daily to grasp out of it things that we were not able to see the day before. And through the Holy Spirit, God will reveal these things to us. We know that we have the assurance that all things work for good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. We have the family of God to help us in all of our labor in a time of need, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 9 and 10, chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, my Bible says the mystery of his will, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he may gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. We pray that we have that in him. There's no greater one than the one who is ultimately the end of all God's purposes in this world. We know that to be the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, that is waiting for us to come to him. He's there with his arms open, ready to engulf us within his love, within the aspects that we may be his for eternity. So we see that there can have obtained mercy and find grace in time of help. Hebrews 4:15-16. We know that we all need help no matter what our lives are. We can have the best of our lives, the best of everything, but yet we know that we're going to need help to be able to have the eternal kingdom at our grasp. It is coming soon. And I pray that each one of us will be able to see that. Says that we're going to know each other in heaven. How that's going to be, we don't know. But we are to know each other in heaven. To know our loved ones. And such, even the babies, are going to be born to the mother's arms that have died already. Such promises that God has given to us. We know that we have to be on bended knee every day to be able to accept them, to know that they are true. They are not vanity. They are not wishful thinking. We have the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. So we just that. Are you and I a friend of Jesus? Remember then what he said. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. John 15:14. I pray that that is our work, to do everything that he has commanded us. May we let Jesus be our friend by obeying his will. We have them famous verses in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And we pray that as we look at all the words of Solomon, that we will take them to heart and see about the vanities of vanities and all under the sin, under the sun. Yes, our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that we are looking to our Lord Jesus Christ. and that His glory will shine within us. It is His glory and His glory alone. We thank Thee, Father, that moment by moment that we are kept in His love. Moment by moment we may enjoy the relationship we have with our Lord Jesus. All the promises that You have given to us, that all will be fulfilled. So help us to give these reasons to others to come to the Lord, to give their hearts over to them, so that we all may enjoy the fruits of our labors. Guide us and direct us this week, Father, so that we may be Yours. And if we come in contact with someone that is hurting, that are in need, we will not turn them away, that we will do our best to fulfill what they need. Oh, Lord, use us where You may, so that we may be disciples for eternity. In Jesus' precious name, amen.